All right, we're picking up in the Revelation Bible study in section 15. This is the Bible prophecy timeline. That's page 19 of the study book, section 15, Bible prophecy timeline. And the Bible prophecy timeline is that which takes off from Revelation chapter 1, verse 19c, the things which will take place after this. As we said, when John wrote, write the things which you have seen, he was talking about Revelation chapter 1. The things which are deal with the seven churches of Revelation in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And the things which will take place after this deals with Revelation 4 and following. So Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, actually begins this section. After these things I looked, and behold, the door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this, that is, after the church age. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So chapters 4 and 5 in the book of Revelation actually describe the scene in heaven. And then the scene moves to earth with occasional heavenly glimpses and perspective. The things which will take place after this. Well, as the end approaches, the days will be characterized by the general apostasy of the church. And that word apostasy means a falling away. So the professing church will have by and large fallen away from the truth, much as the church in America has done. So we don't know when the Lord is going to come back, but it certainly could be today, and if he tarries, it could be next year or 100 years or 1,000 years from now. The Lord is on his very own timetable, but notwithstanding, when the end is near, the days will be characterized by the general apostasy of the church. And the first scripture that we're going to read to support that comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. The next one is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So the doctrinal integrity of the church will have been corrupted by and large. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 5. 2 Timothy 3:5 reads, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So Christianity will have a Christian shell to it. It may have the Christian name to it, but there is no resurrection and salvific power at work, at least not normatively, within the professing Christendom of that day. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 1 reads, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So a lot of false teaching is going to be going on in the church as the day approaches. These scriptures tell us what the prevailing spiritual condition of the earth is going to be as the church age comes to a close. So the general apostasy of the church. And then the next major event that is going to occur is the rapture. And I take a pre-tribulation rapture position with respect to the book of Revelation. And I'm going to be substantiating my position with several scriptures. And what this means is that Jesus Christ's second coming is going to be coming in two installments. First, he is going to be coming for his saints, for his for the church age believers, and then he is going to be coming back with his saints. The coming for his saints is going to be seen and known only by those for whom he comes, but when he comes with his saints, this will be universally known. Everybody will know it. So the coming for his saints, and the first scripture I appeal to are the words of Christ in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus Christ is going to come back and get his church age saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And if you've been to any funerals, memorial services, and the like, you've probably heard this scripture. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." In other words, those who've died. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So those who die as believers in the church age are going to be coming back with the Lord. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." So not only are the believers of the deceased Christians going to be returning to the earth with Jesus, but also those who are still alive at his coming are going to be with him as well. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." So there is going to be a gathering of the deceased church age believers and those who are alive, who will basically be translated into heaven to be with the Lord. So the deceased believers are going to be reunited. The spirit, of course, went to be with the Lord moment they took their last breath. And the body will be reunited with that spirit for those dearly departed believers of the church age. But also, those who are alive are going to be brought up to the Lord as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52 reads, "Behold, I tell you a mystery," and that's something that was not heretofore revealed. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Okay, so this is an immediate translation of those who are alive at the coming of Christ. And they'll immediately receive bodies that are fit to be in his presence. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." So there is a deliverance from earthly wrath, which would be a blessing that will be received by those who will go to him at his coming. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, we read, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." In other words, nobody's going to know when it happens ahead of time. And then verse 9 and 10, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." So the idea here is that there's going to be a sparing of the Day of Wrath, a.k.a. The seven-year tribulation period, for those who are alive at his coming. Now, if he came and he translated the church after the tribulation was over, that idea of sparing from the Day of Wrath wouldn't make any sense. So this is why we understand it this way. This is the most natural way to understand the scriptures. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, we read the same thing. This is actually in the context of the letter to the church at Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. And that's one of the names for the seven-year tribulation period, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So the believers, Philadelphia, of course, was the alive church characterized by many, many true believers. And those believers are not going to have to go through that hour of trial. So they're going to be spared that. And again, this wouldn't make much sense with the post-tribulation rapture. Now, we're going to take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. He who now restrains is God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit indwells his people in the church age. And in the book of Revelation, in the tribulation period, we don't find him indwelling, but we find him coming from without upon his people with the spirit of prophecy and the like, in a similar manner to the way in which God the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. So God the Holy Spirit's work was where he would come upon people in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he indwells his people. And in the tribulation, he then is going to come upon people. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 10, makes the same point. We also have other references here in the scriptures that teach about the Lord coming with his saints and the Lord coming for his saints, that actually distinguish between these. That there's actually one in Jude, and I'm trying to track it down for you here. I'm going to have to read the whole book of Jude here, but we'll pick this up next time, but that'll give you something maybe. Here it is. Jude 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. So the Lord is going to be coming back with his saints. So there's the coming for his saints, will they be caught up in the clouds, and then later on at the second coming, or the second installment of a second coming, if you will, he'll be coming back with his saints. We also have a comparison between two different events, and this is pretty stark comparison. Matthew chapter 24, Matthew, which is the Olivet Discourse, and Matthew 24, 29 through 31 reads, immediately after the tribulation of those days, so this is the second installment of the second coming, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then here it is, this is going to be universally known, everybody's going to see it. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And where are we? On the clouds, Christian believer, in the New Testament age. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, that is those believers, those who have come to faith in the tribulation period, from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. And we compare this with Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then coming down to verse 40, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, one will be taken and the other left. So there will be some who will be taken to be with the Lord, and there will be others who will be left behind to experience the seven-year tribulation, the great day of wrath. And we'll be talking about that the beginning of the second 7-year tribulation next time.